Harper Audio presents Radio Silence by Alice Oseman, read by Aisha Kala.
School sucks. Why, oh why, is there work? I don't get it. Look at me. Look at my face. Does it look like I care about school? No. Lonely Boy Goes to a Rave by Teen Suicide. Universe City Podcast. Episode 1. Dark Blue. Posted by Universe City. In distress. Stuck in Universe City. Send help.
Hello. I hope somebody is listening. I'm sending out this call via radio signal. Long outdated, I know, but perhaps one of the few methods of communication the city has forgotten to monitor. In a dark and desperate cry for help. Things in Universe City are not what they seem. I cannot tell you who I am. Please just call me Radio. Radio Silence. I am, after all, only a voice on a radio, and there may not be anyone listening. I wonder, if nobody is listening to my voice, am I making any sound at all?
Futures. Can you hear that? Said Karis last, halting in front of me so suddenly that I almost crashed into her. We both stood on the train platform. We were 15, and we were friends. What? I said, because I couldn't hear anything except the music I was listening to through one earphone. I think it might have been Animal Collective. Karis laughed, which didn't happen very often. You're playing your music too loud, she said, hooking a finger around the earphone's wire and pulling it away from me. Listen. We stood still and listened. And I remember every single thing I heard in that moment. I heard the rumbling of the train we'd just got off leaving the station, heading further into town. I heard the ticket gate guard explaining to an old man that the high-speed train to St. Pancras was cancelled today due to snow. I heard the distant screech of traffic, the wind above our heads, the flush of the station toilet, and the train now arriving at Platform 1 is the 8:02 to Ramsgate. Snow being shovelled and a fire engine and Karis's voice and burning. We turned round and stared at the town beyond, snowy and dead. We could normally see our school from here, but today there was a cloud of smoke in the way. How did we not see the smoke while we were on the train? Karis asked. I was asleep, I said. I wasn't. You weren't paying attention. Well, I guess the school burned down, she said, and walked away to sit on the station bench. 7-year-old Karis's wish came true. I stared for a moment more, and then went to join her. Do you think it was those pranksters? I said, referring to the anonymous bloggers who had been pranking our school for the past month with increasing ferocity. Karis shrugged. Doesn't really matter, does it? The end result is the same. It does matter. It was at that moment that it all started to sink in. It looks really serious. We're going to have to change schools. It looks like the whole of C Block and D Block are just gone. I crumpled my skirt in my hands. My locker was in D Block. My GCSE sketchbook was in there. I spent days on some of that stuff. Oh, shit. I shivered. Why would they do this? They've destroyed so much hard work. They've messed up so many people's GCSEs and A-levels. Things that seriously affect people's futures. They've literally ruined people's lives. Karis seemed to think about it, and then opened her mouth to reply, but ended up closing it again and not saying anything. 1. Summer term, A. I was clever. We care about our students' happiness, and we care about their success, said our head teacher, Dr. Afalayan, in front of 400 parents and sixth formers on my Year 12 summer term parents' evening. I was 17 and head girl, and I was sitting backstage because it was my turn to speak on stage in 2 minutes. I hadn't planned a speech, and I wasn't nervous. I was very pleased with myself. We consider it our duty to give our young people access to the greatest opportunities on offer in the world today. I'd managed to become head girl last year because my campaign poster was a picture of me with a double chin. Also, I'd used the word meme in my election speech. This expressed the idea that I didn't give a shit about the election, even though the opposite was true, and it made people want to vote for me. You can't say I don't know my audience. Despite this, I wasn't quite sure what I was going to talk about in my parents' evening speech. Afalayan was saying everything I'd scribbled down on the club night flyer I'd found in my blazer pocket 5 minutes ago. Our Oxbridge programme has been particularly successful this year. I crumpled up the flyer and dropped it on the floor. Improvisation it was. I'd improvised speeches before, so it wasn't a big deal. And nobody could ever tell they were improvised anyway. Nobody ever even wondered whether they were. I had a reputation for being organised, always doing homework, having consistently high grades, and having Cambridge University ambitions. My teachers loved me, and my peers envied me. I was clever. I was the top student in my year. I was going to Cambridge. And I was going to get a good job and earn lots of money, and I was going to be happy. And I think, said Dr. Afalayan, that the teaching staff deserve a round of applause as well for all their hard work they've put in this year. The audience clapped, but I saw a few students roll their eyes. And now I'd like to introduce our head girl, Frances Janvaya. She pronounced my surname wrong. I could see Daniel Jun, the head boy, watching me from the opposite side of the stage. Daniel hated me because we were both ruthless study machines. Frances has been a consistent high achiever since she joined us a few years ago, and it's my absolute honour to have her representing everything we stand for here at the Academy. She'll be talking to you today about her experience as an Academy sixth former this year and her own plans for the future. I stood up and walked on stage, and I smiled, and I felt fine, because I was born for this. The narrator. You're not going to improvise again, are you, Frances? Asked Mum 15 minutes previously. Last time you ended your speech by giving everyone a thumbs up. She'd been standing with me in the corridor outside the stage entrance. My mum always loved parents' evening, mostly because she loves the brief, confused stares people make when she introduces herself as my mother. These occur because I'm mixed-raced, and she's white, and for some reason most people think I'm Spanish, because I did Spanish GCSE last year with a private tutor. She also loved listening to teachers telling her over and over again what an excellent person I was. I waved the club flyer at her. Excuse me, I'm extremely prepared. Mum plucked it out of my hand and scanned it. There are literally 3 bullet points on this. One of them says, mention the internet. That's all I need. I'm well practiced in the art of bullshitting. Oh, I know you are. Mum handed me back the flyer and leaned against the wall. We could just do without another incident where you spend 3 minutes talking about Game of Thrones. You're never going to let me live that down, are you? No. I shrugged. I've got all the main points covered. I'm clever. I'm going to university, blah, blah, blah. Grades, success, happiness. I'm fine. Sometimes I felt like that was all I ever talked about. Being clever was, after all, my primary source of self-esteem. I'm a very sad person, in all senses of the word. But at least I was going to get into university. Mum raised an eyebrow at me. You're making me nervous. I tried to stop thinking about it and instead thought about my evening plans. That evening, I was going to get home and I was going to make a coffee and have a slice of cake. And then I was going to go upstairs and sit on my bed and listen to the latest episode of Universe City. Universe City was a YouTube podcast show about a suit-wearing student detective looking for a way to escape a sci-fi monster-infested university. Nobody knew who made the podcast, but it was the voice of the narrator that got me addicted to the show. It has a kind of softness. It makes you want to fall asleep, in the least weird way possible. It's a bit like someone stroking your hair. That was what I was going to do when I got home. You sure you're going to be okay? Mum asked, looking down at me. She always asked me that before I had to do public speaking, which was frequently. I'm going to be okay. She untwisted my blazer collar and tapped my silver-haired girl badge with one finger. She asked me, remind me why you wanted to be head girl? And I said, because I'm great at it. But I was thinking, because universities love it. Dying, but in a good way. I said my piece and got off stage and checked my phone, because I hadn't checked it all afternoon. And that's when I saw it. I saw the Twitter message that was about to change my life. Possibly forever. I made a startled coughing noise, sank into a plastic chair and grabbed head boy Daniel Jun's arm so hard that he hissed, ow, what? Something monumental has happened to me on Twitter. Daniel, who had seemed vaguely interested until I said the word Twitter, frowned and wrenched his arm back. He wrinkled his nose and looked away like I'd done something extremely embarrassing. The main thing that you need to know about Daniel Jun is that he probably would have killed himself if he thought it'd get him better grades. To most people, we were exactly the same person. We were both smart and we were both going for Cambridge. And that was all anybody saw. Two shining gods of academia flying high above the school building. The difference between us was that I found our rivalry absolutely hilarious, whereas Daniel acted as if we were engaged in a war of who could be the biggest nerd. Anyway, two monumental things had happened, actually. The first was this. At Universe City is now following you. And the second was a direct message addressed to Toulouse, my online alias. Direct messages with radio. Hi, Toulouse. This might sound really weird, but I've seen some of the Universe City fan art you've posted, and I love them so much. I wondered whether you'd be interested in working with the show to create visuals for the Universe City episode. I've been trying to find someone with the right style for the show, and I really love yours. Universe City is a non-profit, so I can't exactly pay you, so I totally understand if you want to say no. You seem like you really love the show, and I wondered if you'd be interested. You'd get full credit, obviously. I honestly wish I could pay you, but I don't have any money. I'm a student. Yeah. Let me know if you're interested at all. If not, I still love your drawings. Like, a lot. Okay. Radio. Kiss. Go on then, said Daniel with an eye roll. What's happened? Something monumental, I whispered. Yes, I got that. It struck me suddenly that there was absolutely no way I could tell anybody about this. They probably didn't even know what Universe City was, and fan art was a weird hobby anyway, and they might think that I was secretly drawing porn or something. And they'd all hunt down my Tumblr and read all my personal posts on there, and everything would be awful. School brainiac and head girl, Frances Janvier, exposed as fandom freak. I cleared my throat. You wouldn't be interested. Don't worry. Fine then. Daniel shook his head and turned away. Universe City had chosen me to be their artist. I felt like dying, but in a good way. Frances, said a very quiet voice, are you okay? I looked up to find myself face to face with Alid Last, Daniel's best friend. Alid Last always looked a little like a child who'd lost their mum in a supermarket. This was possibly something to do with how young he looked, how round his eyes were, and how his hair was soft like baby hair. He never seemed to be comfortable in any of the clothes that he wore. He didn't go to our school. He went to an all-boys grammar school on the other side of town, and though he was only 3 months older than me, he was in the school year above. Most people knew who he was because of Daniel. I knew who he was because he lived opposite me, and I used to be friends with his twin sister. And we took the same train to school, even though we sat in different carriages and didn't talk to each other. Alid Last was standing next to Daniel, gazing down at where I was still sitting, hyperventilating in the chair. He cringed a little and followed up with, you just looked like you were about to be sick or something. I attempted to say a sentence without bursting into hysterical laughter. I'm fine, I said, but I was grinning and probably looked like I was about to murder someone. Why are you here? Daniel support? According to a rumour, Alid and Daniel had been inseparable their whole lives, despite the fact that Daniel was an uppity, opinionated dickhead, and Alid spoke maybe 50 words per day. No, he said, his voice almost too quiet to hear, as usual. He looked terrified. Dr. Afalion wanted me to give a speech about university. I stared at him. But you don't even go to our school. No. So what's up with that? It was Mr. Shannon's idea. Mr. Shannon was the head teacher of Alid's school. Something about camaraderie between our schools. One of my friends was supposed to be doing this, actually. He was head boy last year, but he's busy, so he asked if I'd do it. Yeah. Alid's voice got gradually quieter as he was speaking, almost like he didn't think I was listening to him, despite the fact that I was looking right at him. And you said yes, I said. Yes. Why? Alid just laughed. He was visibly quaking. Because he's a turnip, said Daniel, folding his arms. Yes, Alid murmured, but he was smiling. You don't have to do it, I said. I could just tell them you're sick and everything will be fine. I sort of have to do it, he said. You don't really have to do anything you don't want to, I said. But I knew that wasn't true, and so did Alid, because he just laughed at me and shook his head. We didn't say anything else. Afalion was on stage again. And now I'd like to welcome Alid Last, one of the boys' school's wonderful Year 13s, who will be setting off to one of the UK's most prestigious universities in September. Well, if his A-levels go to plan anyway. All the parents laughed at this. Daniel and Alid and I did not. Afaline and the parents started to clap as Alid walked onto the stage. He approached the microphone. I'd done it 1,000 times, and I always got that little stomach flip beforehand. But watching Alid do it then was somehow 3 billion times worse. I hadn't really spoken to Alid properly before. He caught the same train to school as me, but he sat in a different carriage. I knew next to nothing about him. Hi. Yeah, he said. His voice sounded like he'd just stopped crying. I didn't realise he was this shy, I whispered at Daniel. But Daniel didn't say anything. So, last year I, had an interview. Daniel and I watched him struggle through his speech. Daniel, a practiced public speaker like myself, occasionally shook his head. At one point he said, "You should have said no, for fuck's sake." I didn't really like watching it, so I sat back in the chair for the second half of it and read the Twitter message 50 times over. I tried to switch my mind off and focus on university and the messages. Radio had liked my art. Stupid little sketches of the characters, weird line drawings, 3 a.m. doodles in my 99p sketchbook instead of finishing my history essay. Nothing like this had happened to me. Ever. When Alid walked off stage and joined us again, I said, "Well done, that was really good." Even though we both knew I was lying again. He met my eyes. His had dark blue circles under them. Maybe he was a night owl like me. "Thanks," he said. And then he walked away. And I thought that'd probably be the last time I ever saw him. Do what you want. Mum barely had time to say, "Nice speech," once I met her at our car, before I was telling her all about Universe City. I once tried to get Mum into Universe City by forcing her to listen to the first 5 episodes on our way to a Cornwall holiday. But Mum's conclusion was, "I don't really get it. Is it supposed to be funny or scary? Wait, is Radio Silence a girl or a boy, or neither? Why do they never go to their university lectures?" I thought that was fair enough. At least she still watched Glee with me. "Are you sure this isn't some sort of giant scam?" said Mum, with a frown as we drove away from the academy. I lifted my feet up onto the seat. "It sounds a bit like they're trying to steal your art if they're not going to pay you. It was their official Twitter. They're verified," I said. But this didn't quite have the same effect on Mum as it did on me. "They liked my art so much that they're actually asking me to join their team." Mum said nothing. She raised her eyebrows. "Please be happy for me," I said, rolling my head towards her. "It's really good. It's brilliant. I just don't want people to steal your sketches. You love that stuff." "I don't think it's stealing. They'd give me all the credit." "Have you signed a contract?" "Mum!" I groaned, exasperatedly. There wasn't much point trying to explain this to her. "It doesn't matter. I'm going to have to say no anyway." "Wait, what? What do you mean?" I shrugged. "I'm just not going to have time. I'll be in year 13 in a few months. Like, I've got so much work all the time, and Cambridge interview prep on top of that. There's no way I'd have time to draw something for every single weekly episode." Mum frowned. "I don't understand. I thought you were really excited about this." "I am. Like, it's so amazing that they messaged me and thought my art was good, but I have to be realistic. You know, Opportunities like this don't come around very often, Mum said. And you clearly want to do it. Well, yeah. But I get so much homework every day, and coursework and revision will only get more intense. I think you should do it. Mum stared straight ahead and spun the steering wheel. I think you work yourself too hard for school anyway, and you should take an opportunity for once and do what you want. And what I wanted to do was this. Direct messages with radio. Hey, wow, thank you so much. I can't believe you like my art. I'd be absolutely honoured to get involved. My email is taluza@gmail.com, if it's easier to talk there. Can't wait to hear more about what you're thinking in terms of design. Honestly, Universe City is my favourite series of all time. I can't thank you enough for thinking of me. I hope I don't sound too much like a crazy fan. Ha ha. Kiss, kiss. I always wished I had a hobby. I had work to do when I got home. I almost always had work to do when I got home. I almost always did work when I got home, because whenever I wasn't doing schoolwork, I felt like I was wasting my time. I know this is kind of sad, and I always wished I had a hobby like football, or playing the piano, or ice skating. But the fact of the matter was that the only thing I was good at was passing exams. Which was fine. I wasn't ungrateful. It'd be worse if it were the other way around. That day, the day I got the Twitter message from the creator of Universe City, I didn't do any work when I got home. I collapsed onto my bed and turned my laptop on and went straight onto my Tumblr, where I posted all of my art. I scrolled down the page. What exactly had the creator seen in these? They were all crap. Doodles I did to turn my brain off so I could fall asleep and forget about history essays and art coursework and head girl speeches for 5 minutes. I switched over to Twitter to see if the creator had replied, but they hadn't. I checked my email to see if they'd emailed me, but they hadn't. I loved Universe City. Maybe that was my hobby, drawing Universe City. It didn't feel like a hobby. It felt like a dirty secret. My drawings were all pointless anyway. It wasn't like I could sell them. It wasn't like I could share them with my friends. It wasn't like they'd get me into Cambridge. I continued scrolling down the page, back months and months and into last year and the year before, scrolling through time. I'd drawn everything. I'd drawn the characters, the narrator, Radio Silence, and Radio's various sidekicks. I'd drawn the setting, the dark and dusty sci-fi university, Universe City. I'd drawn the villains and the weapons and the monsters, Radio's lunar bike and Radio's suits. I'd drawn the dark blue building and the lonely road, and even February Friday. I'd drawn everything, really. Why did I do this? Why am I like this? It was the only thing I enjoyed, really. The only thing I had, apart from my grades. No. Wait. That would be really sad. And weird. It just helped me sleep. Maybe. I don't know. I shut my laptop and went downstairs to get some food and tried to stop thinking about it. A normal teenage girl. Right then, I said as the car drew up outside Wetherspoons at 9 p.m. several days later. I'm off to drink the alcohols, do lots of the drugs and have lots of the sex. Oh, Mum said with her half smile. Well then. My daughter's gone wild. Actually, this is my 100% real personality. I opened the car door and skipped out onto the pavement with a cry of, Don't worry about me dying. Don't miss the last train. It was the last day of school before study leave, and I was supposed to be going to this club in town, Johnny Richards, with my friends. It was the first time I'd ever been to a club, and I was essentially terrified. But I was on the verge of being so uninvolved with our friendship group that if I hadn't gone, I thought they might stop considering me a main friend, and things would get too awkward for me to deal with on a daily basis. I couldn't imagine what awaited me besides drunk guys in pastel-coloured shirts and Maya and Rain trying to make me awkwardly dance to Skrillex. Mum drove away. I crossed the street and peered through the door into Spoons. I could see my friends sitting in the far corner, drinking and laughing. They were all lovely people, but they made me nervous. They weren't mean to me or anything. They just saw me in a very particular way. School Frances. Head girl. Boring. Nerdy. Study machine. It's not like they were completely wrong, I guess. I went to the bar and asked for a double vodka and lemonade. The bartender didn't ask for ID, even though I had a fake one just in case. Which was surprising because most of the time I look approximately 13 years old. Then I walked towards my friends, barging through the packs of lads and pre-drinkers. More things that make me nervous. Honestly, I need to stop being scared of being a normal teenage girl. What? Blowjobs? Lorraine Singupta, known to all as Rain, was sitting next to me. Not even worth it, mate. Boys are weak. They don't even want to kiss you afterwards. Maya, the loudest person of the group, and therefore the leader, had her elbows on the table and three empty glasses in front of her. Oh, come on. They're not all going to be like that. But a lot of them are, so I literally can't be asked. Not even worth the effort, TBH. Rain literally said the letters TBH. She didn't seem to do it ironically, and I wasn't sure how I felt about it. This conversation was so irrelevant to my life that I had been pretending to text for the last 10 minutes. Radio hadn't yet replied to my Twitter message or emailed me. It had been 4 days. Nah, I don't believe in couples falling asleep in each other's arms, said Rain. They were talking about something else now. I think it's a mass media lie. Oh, hey, Daniel. Maya's voice drew my attention away from my phone. Daniel Jun and Added Last were walking past our table. Daniel was wearing a plain grey T-shirt and plain blue jeans. I'd never seen him wear anything patterned in the year I'd known him. Alid looked just as plain, like Daniel had picked out his clothes. Daniel glanced down and saw us and momentarily caught my eye before replying to Maya. Hi, you all right? They struck up a conversation. Alid was silent, standing behind Daniel, and was hunched over as if he were trying to make himself less visible. I caught his eye too, but he quickly looked away. Rain leaned towards me while Daniel and the others were talking. Who's that white boy? She murmured. Alid Last? He goes to the boys' school. Oh, Karis Last's twin brother. Yeah. Weren't you friends with her back in the day? I tried to figure out what to say. Sort of, I said. We chatted on the train, sometimes. Rain was probably the person I talked to the most out of the group. She didn't tease me for being a massive nerd like everyone else did. If I'd acted more like myself, I think we'd have been pretty good friends, since we had a similar sense of humour. But she could pull off being cool and weird because she wasn't a head girl, and she had the right side of her hair shaved, so no one was very surprised when she did something unusual. Rain nodded. Fair enough. I watched as Alid took a sip of the drink he was holding and looked shiftily around the pub. He appeared to be deeply uncomfortable. Francis, are you ready for Johnny R's? One of my friends was leaning over the table and looking at me with a shark-like grin. As I said, my friends weren't horrible to me, but they did treat me like I'd had next to no major life experiences and was generally a massive study nerd. Which was true. So, fair enough. Yeah, I guess so, I said. A pair of guys walked up to Aled and started talking to him. They were both tall and had an air of power about them. And I realised then that it was because the guy on the right, olive-skinned and a checked shirt, had been head boy for most of last year at the boys' school. And the guy on the left, stocky physique and an undercut, used to be the boys' school rugby captain. I'd seen them both give presentations when I attended a sixth form open day at their school. Aled smiled at them both. I hoped Aled had other friends apart from Daniel. I tried to catch threads of their conversation. Aled said, "Yeah, Dan managed to persuade me this time." And the head boy said, "Don't feel like you have to stick around for Johnny's if you don't want to. I think we're going to go home before then." And he looked at the rugby captain, who nodded in agreement and said, "Yeah, let us know if you need a lift, mate. I've got my car." And to be honest, I wished I could do the same. Just go home when I wanted to. But I couldn't, because I'm too scared to do what I want. "It's pretty grim," said another of my friends, dragging my attention away. "I feel bad," said another. "Francis is so innocent. I feel like we're corrupting you by dragging you to clubs and making you drink." "She deserves a night off studying, though." "I want to see drunk Francis. Do you think you'll be a crier?" "No, I think she'll be a funny drunk. I think she's got some secret personality we don't know about." I didn't know what to say. Rain nudged me. "Don't worry. If any disgusting guys come up to you, I'll just accidentally spill my drink on them." Someone laughed. "She actually will. She's done it before." I laughed too, and wished I had the guts to say something funny. But I didn't, because I wasn't a funny person when I was around them. I was just boring. I downed what was left of my drink and looked around and wondered where Daniel and Aled had gone. I felt a bit weird because Rain had brought up Karis, and I always felt weird when people brought up Karis, because I didn't like thinking about her. Karis last ran away from home when she was in year 11, and I was in year 10. Nobody knew why, and nobody cared because she didn't have many friends. She didn't have any friends, really. Apart from me. Different carriages. I met Karis last on the train to school when we were 15. It was 7:14 a.m. and I was sitting in her seat. She glanced down at me like a librarian looking down at someone over a tall desk. Her hair was platinum blonde and she had a full fringe so thick and long that you couldn't quite see her eyes. The sun silhouetted her like she was a heavenly apparition. "Oh," she said. "All right, my little train compadre. You're sitting in my seat." That might sound like she was trying to be mean, but she genuinely wasn't. It was weird. Like, we'd both seen each other loads of times. We both sat at the village station every morning, plus Aled, and were the last people to leave the train every evening. We'd done this since I started secondary school, but we'd never spoken. That's what people are like, I suppose. Her voice was different to how I'd imagined. She had one of those posh London made in Chelsea accents, but it was more charming than irritating. And she spoke slowly and softly, as if she was slightly high. It's also worth noting that I was significantly smaller than her at this point. She looked like a majestic elf. and I looked like a gremlin. And I suddenly realised it was true. I was sitting in her seat. I had no idea why. I normally sat in an entirely different carriage. Oh, God, sorry, I'll move. What? No, no, I didn't mean move. Wow, sorry. I must have sounded really rude. She sat down in the seat opposite me. Caris Lars didn't seem to smile or feel the need to smile uncomfortably like I was doing. I was extremely impressed by this. Alid wasn't with her. This didn't strike me as odd at the time. After this incident, I noticed that they sat in different carriages. That didn't strike me as odd either. I didn't know him, so I didn't care. "Don't you normally sit in the back carriage?" she asked me, in the tone of a middle-aged businessman. Yeah. She raised her eyebrows at me. "You live in the village, don't you?" she said. "Yeah. Opposite me?" "I think so." Caris nodded. She kept an unnaturally straight face, which was weird because everyone I knew always tried so hard to smile at you all the time. Her composure made her look significantly older than she was, and admirably classy. She rested her hands on the table, and I noticed that they had tiny burn scars all over them. "I like your jumper," she said. I was wearing a jumper that had a computer with a sad face on it underneath my school blazer. I looked down because I'd forgotten what I was wearing. It was early January and it was freezing, which was why I was wearing an extra jumper over my school jumper. This particular jumper was one of the many items of clothing that I bought but never wore around my friends because I thought they'd laugh at me. My personal fashion choices remained at home. Do you? I stammered, wondering if I'd misheard. Caris chuckled. "Yes." "Thanks," I said, shaking my head slightly. I looked down at my hands and then out the window. The train moved suddenly and we set off out of the village station. "So, why do you sit in this carriage today?" she asked. I looked at her again, properly this time. Until this point, she'd only ever been a girl with dyed blonde hair who sat at the other end of the village train station every morning. But now we were talking, and here she was. She was wearing makeup, even though she was still in lower school, so it was against the code of conduct. She was large and soft, and somehow powerful. How did she manage to be this nice, but not smile at all? She looked like she could probably murder someone if she had to. She looked like she always knew exactly what she was doing. Somehow, I knew this wouldn't be the only time we would ever talk. God, I didn't have a clue what was going to happen. "I don't know," I said. Somebody is listening. Another hour passed before it was the acceptable time to move to Johnny R's. And I was trying to stay calm and trying not to Facebook message my mum and tell her to come and pick me up because that would be lame. I knew I was lame, but no one else was supposed to know that. We all stood up to head over to Johnny R's. I was feeling a bit lightheaded and like I wasn't really controlling my legs. But I still heard Rain say, "This is nice," and point at my top, which was just a very plain chiffon shirt that I picked out because it looked like something Maya would wear. I almost completely forgot about Alid. But then, as we were walking down the street, my phone started to ring. I took it out of my pocket and looked at the screen. Daniel Jung was calling me. Daniel Jung had my number only because, being head boy and girl, we ran a lot of school events together. He'd never called me and only texted me 4 or 5 times with mundane school event related things, Such as, are you setting up the cake stand or am I? And, you collect tickets at the door and I'll direct people in from the school gate. This, added to the fact that Daniel disliked me, meant that I had no idea why he was calling me. But I was drunk, so I answered the phone. F. Hello? Daniel. Muffled voices and loud dubstep. F. Hello? Daniel. D. Hello? Shut up! Shut up! Hello? F. Daniel? Why are you calling me? D. Laughter, more dubstep. F. Daniel? D. Hangs up. I looked at my phone. Okay, I said out loud, but nobody heard me. A group of lads barged past me, and my foot slid off the curb and I was walking in the road. I didn't want to be here. I needed to be doing work, revising essay questions, writing up some maths notes, rereading my message from radio, drawing some sketch ideas for the videos. I had a mountain of stuff to do, and being here was, to be honest, a complete waste of my time. My phone rang again. F. Daniel, I swear to God. Alid. Francis? Is this Francis? F. Alid? A. Francis! Dubstep. I barely knew Alid. I'd barely spoken to him before this week. Why? What? F. Why are you calling me? A. Oh, Dan. Dan tried to prank call you, I think. I don't think it worked. F. Okay. A. Blank. F. Where are you? Is Daniel with you? A. Oh, we're at Johnny's. That's so weird, I don't even know who Johnny is. Dan's... Laughter. Muffled voices. F. Are you okay? A. I'm fine. Sorry. Daniel called you again, and then he gave me the phone. I don't really know what happened. I don't know why I'm talking to you. I walked a bit faster so I didn't lose my friends completely. F. Alid, if Daniel's with you, then I'm just going to go. A. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. I felt pretty bad for him. I didn't get why he was friends with Daniel. I wondered whether Daniel bossed him around at all. Daniel bossed a lot of people around. F. It's okay. A. I don't really like it here. I frowned. A. Francis? F. Yeah? A. I don't really like it here. F. Where? A. Do you like it here? F. Where? There was silence for a moment. Well, silence except for the tinny dance music and the voices and laughter. F. Alid, please just tell me whether Daniel is there so I can continue with my evening and not worry about you. A. I don't know where Daniel is. F. Do you want me to come and take you home or something? A. Hey, you know, it sounds like you're on the radio. My mind went instantly to Universe City and radio silence. F. God, you're so drunk. A. Laughs. Hello. I hope somebody is listening. He hung up. I felt my stomach drop at his final words. Hello, I hope somebody is listening, I said, under my breath. Words I'd spent the last 2 years listening to over and over. Words I'd sketched again and again, inside speech bubbles and on my bedroom wall. Words I'd heard in a male voice and a female voice, changing every few weeks, always in that classic World War II old-time radio accent. The opening line of every Universe City episode. Hello. I hope somebody is listening. Made it. The bouncer at the door didn't question the driver's license I presented to him, which belonged to Rain's older sister, Rita. Despite the fact that Rita is Indian and has cropped straight hair. I wasn't sure how anyone could mistake an Indian girl for a British Ethiopian girl. But there it is. Johnny's entry was free as it was before 11 p.m, which was good news for me, because I hate spending money on things I don't actually want to do. I followed my friends inside. It was exactly what I expected. Drunk people, flashing lights, loud music, cliches. Mate, you coming for more drinks? Rain shouted at me from 15 centimetres away. I shook my head. Feeling a bit sick. Maya heard me and laughed. Oh, Francis, bless your heart. Come on, just one more little shot. I think I'm going to go to the loo, actually. But Maya had already started talking to someone else. Do you want me to come with you? Asked Rain. I shook my head. It's fine. I'm fine. Okay. Rain grabbed my arm and pointed at somewhere indiscernible on the other side of the room. The loo's over there. Come meet us at the bar, yeah? I nodded. I had absolutely no intention of going to the loo. Rain waved at me and wandered away. I was going to find Alid last. As soon as I was sure that my friends were sufficiently distracted by the bar, I headed upstairs. They were playing indie rock on this floor, and it was a lot quieter too, which I was glad of, because the dubstep was starting to make me feel a bit panicked, like it was the theme music for an action film and I had 10 seconds to save myself from an explosion. And then Alid Last was literally right next to me. I hadn't planned to go and find him before he'd quoted Universe City, but that couldn't have been a coincidence. Could it? He quoted it exactly. Word for word, with the exact enunciation, the hiss of the S in somebody, and the slight gap between list and enning, and the smile after the second full stop. Did he listen to it too? I'd never met anyone else who'd even heard of it. It was quite amazing that Alid hadn't been chucked out of the club, because he'd passed out. Or he was asleep. He was sat on the floor anyway, leaning against the wall in a way that made it obvious that someone had put him there. Probably Daniel. Which was surprising, since Daniel was usually kind of protective of Alid. Or so I'd heard. Maybe it was the other way round. I crouched down in front of him. The wall he was leaning against was all wet from the condensation in the room. I shook him by the arm and shouted over the music. Alid! I shook him again. He looked nice asleep, the club lights flashing red and orange over his face. He looked like a child. Don't be dead. That would really ruin my day. He jerked awake, flying forwards off the wall and headbutting me square in the forehead. It hurt so much that I couldn't even say anything except a soft, motherfuck. A single tear emerging from the corner of my left eye. While I was curling myself into a ball to try and minimise the pain, Alid shouted, Francis Janvier! And he pronounced my surname correctly. He continued, Did I just hit you in the face? Hit is an understatement. I shouted back, uncurling myself. I thought he would laugh, but his eyes were all wide and he was quite clearly still drunk, and he just said, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry." And then, because he was drunk, he just brought his hand up to my forehead and gave it a little pat, like he was trying to magic the pain away. "I'm so sorry," he said again, his expression genuinely concerned. "Are you crying? Oh, wow, I sound like Wendy from Peter Pan." His eyes unfocused momentarily before looking at me again. "Girl, why are you crying?" "I'm not," I said. "Well, on the inside, maybe." That's when he started to laugh. There was something about it that made me want to laugh as well. So that's what I did. He rolled his head back against the wall and brought his hand up to cover his mouth while he laughed. He was so drunk, and my head was pulsating, and the place was disgusting. But just for a few seconds, everything was absolutely hilarious. Once he'd finished, he grabbed my denim jacket and used my shoulder to push himself off the ground. He instantly slapped a hand against the wall to stop himself falling over. I stood up too, not quite sure what I was supposed to do now. I didn't even know Al had got like this. Then again, it's not like I knew much about him anyway. It's not like I had a reason to care. "Have you seen Dan?" he asked me, his hand flopping back onto my shoulder and leaning in, squinting. "Who's... oh, Daniel." Everybody I knew called him Daniel. "No, sorry." "Oh." He looked down at his shoes and he seemed very much like a child again. His longish hair more appropriate for a 14-year-old. His jeans and his jumper just looking kind of odd on him. He just looked so... I didn't know what it was. And I wanted to ask him about Universe City. "Let's go outside for a sec," I said. But I don't think Al had heard me. I put my arm around his shoulder and started pulling him through the crowds, through the low bass and the sweat, through the people and towards the stairs. "Alid!" I halted in my tracks, Alid resting most of his weight against me, and turned to face the voice. Daniel was barging through the dancers to get to us, a full cup of water in one hand. "Oh," he said, looking at me like I was a pile of dirty plates. "I didn't know you were out tonight." What was his damage? "You literally called me on the phone, Daniel." "Oh, I called you because Alid said he wanted to talk to you. Alid said you were trying to prank call me." "Why would I do that? I'm not 12. "Well, why would Alid want to talk to me? I don't even know him." "Why the hell would I know?" "Because you're his best friend and you've been hanging out with him tonight?" Daniel didn't say anything to that. "Or I guess you haven't," I continued. "Yeah, I was just rescuing Alid from the floor." "What?" I laughed a little. "Did you just leave your best friend passed out on the floor in a club, Daniel?" "No." He held up the cup of water. "I was getting him water. I'm not a complete dick." This was news to me. But it felt a step too far to tell him that. Instead, I turned to Alid, who was swaying slightly against me. "Why did you call me?" He frowned at me, and then bopped me gently on the nose with one finger and said, "I like you." I started to laugh, thinking he was joking, but Alid didn't join in. He let go of me and slung his other arm around Daniel, who staggered backwards a little in surprise, bringing up his other hand to steady the water. "Isn't it weird," said Alid, his face literally millimetres from Daniel's, "that I was the taller one for, like, 16 years, but now you're suddenly taller?" "Yeah, that's so weird," replied Daniel, with the closest thing to a smile I'd seen from him in several months. Alid rested his head on Daniel's shoulder and closed his eyes, and Daniel patted Alid gently on the chest. He murmured something to Alid I couldn't quite hear, and then handed him the water. Alid took it without saying anything and started drinking. I glanced between the pair, and then Daniel seemed to remember I was there.
"Are you going home now?" he said. "Can you take him home?"
I put my hands in my pockets. I didn't really want to be here anyway.
"Yeah, sure."
"I didn't just leave him on the floor," he said. "I was getting him water."
"You already said that."
"Yeah, I just didn't think you believed me."
I just shrugged.
Daniel moved Alid over to me, where he immediately clung round my shoulders again and spilt a bit of water on my sleeve.
"Shouldn't really have brought him here anyway," said Daniel. But he was saying it to himself, I think. And I could honestly see a bit of regret, or something, in his eyes as he gazed at Alid, who was on the verge of falling asleep in my arms, the club lights flashing on his skin.
"What?" Alid mumbled as we stepped into the street. "Where's Dan?"
"He said I had to take you home," I said. I wondered how exactly I was going to explain this to my friends. I made a mental note to text Rain once we got to the train station.
"Okay."
I glanced at him, because he'd suddenly sounded so much like the shy Alid I'd spoken to on parents' evening. The Alid with the whispery voice and the shifty eyes.
"You get my train," he continued as we started walking down the empty high street.
"Yep," I said.
"You and Karis sat together." My heart did a little jump at Karis's name.
"Yes," I said.
"She liked you," said Alid. "More than,
He seemed to lose his train of thought. I didn't want to talk about Karis, so I didn't press him.
"Alid, do you listen to Universe City?" I said.
He stopped walking instantly, and my arm fell from his shoulder.
"What?"
he said, the street lamps bronzing him and the Johnny R's neon sign flashing softly behind him. I blinked. Why did I ask that?
"Universe City," he said,
his eyes droopy and his voice loud like we were still inside the club.
"Why?"
I looked away. Obviously, he didn't then. At least he wouldn't remember this conversation. "Doesn't matter."
"No,"
he said, stumbling off the curb and almost falling onto me again. His eyes were wide.
"Why did you ask me that?"
I stared. He waited. I thought I heard you quote it. I might have been wrong.
"You listen to Universe City."
Yeah, I said.
"That's so unlikely. I haven't even got 50,000 subscribers yet."
"Wait. What?" Alid stepped forward.
"How did you know?" "Dan said no one would work it out."
"What?" I said, this time with more force. "Work what out?" Alid said nothing. He just started to grin. "Do you listen to Universe City?" I said, though by this point I'd forgotten why I was asking, whether it was because the idea that someone else loved it as much as I did made me feel less completely weird, or whether I just wanted Alid to say what he was seemingly refusing to say.
"I am Universe City," he said.
And I stood there.
"What?"
I said.
"I'm radio," he said. "I'm Radio Silence. I make Universe City."
And I just stood there. And we said nothing. A gust of wind whipped round us. A group of girls laughed from a nearby pub. A car alarm was going off. Alid looked away, as if there was someone standing next to us that he could see, but I couldn't. Then he looked back, put a hand on my shoulder, leaned in and asked, quite genuinely, "Are you all right?" "It's, But I didn't quite know how to say that I'd been obsessed for 2 years with a podcast show on YouTube about the adventures of an agender science fiction university student who always wears gloves and uses special powers and detective skills to solve mysteries around a city, the name of which is the stupidest pun I'd ever heard in my life. And I had 37 sketchbooks in my room with drawings that I've done of this specific show. And I'd never met anyone else in real life who'd even heard of it. And I'd never told any of my friends. And just now, outside Johnny R's on the last school day before study leave, I'd found out that a person whose twin sister had been my temporary best friend and who'd lived opposite me my entire life, a person who never said anything when he was sober, was the person who had made it. This tiny, blonde, 17-year-old who never said anything, standing on a high street. "Oh, listen," said Alid with a blurry smile. He was so drunk. Did he know what he was talking about? "It'd take hours to explain," I said. "I'd listen to you for hours," he said.